Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RT.ie and 51550, wash your hands. Niamh, good afternoon. This is a warning before we go into this item. It's quite distressing. It's about people's brain tissue being passed on to a private company without their permission. Niamh, what happened?
Hi, Joe. Yes. So, firstly, thank you for giving us the platform to speak today. So, obviously, video that Deputy Shorthall released, and then the peak huge in the summer is after raising a lot of concerns about this. So where to start? So essentially, I'm the daughter of somebody who was diagnosed with a brain tumour in Beaumont Hospital in 2014. Yeah. That was my dad.
Right.
So sadly now we lost him after 4 months. And I suppose anybody who's been down this journey can attest that it is pretty heartbreaking and very, very sad indeed to watch and to witness. So that's what has me on the call today. But really, we had opted out. We made a decision.
Yeah, well, tell people don't know as of yet what we're concerned about, Niamh. What are you concerned about? When your father had a brain tumour, did he agree or you agree that he participate in some research?
No, at that point in time, a biopsy would have been taken, essentially, to diagnose, make a clinical diagnosis. And that sample would have gone to the pathology lab and he would have been diagnosed once he was diagnosed. And that's kind of, we left it at that really, and what happened and his diagnosis happened thereafter. But then this kind of all came to light. Now, this is on the public's radar for the last 2 years, Joe. So I'm a bit disappointed really that it's come to this point that families have to speak out about this. But anyway, so in essence, really, what has come about is it's about consent. So the legal basis for consent is informed or explicit consent in the ordinary course of things. So if a patient is diagnosed with any sort of condition, they'll give their consent to the research. And the regulations would say that the investigator sits down with the person and talks through them about the plan and gets the informed consent. But what we're talking about here is retrospective consent. So
where is, if I can believe, I don't mean to sound cruel, where is your father's brain tissue now, Niamh?
It would be sitting in the lab in Beaumont Hospital.
And what's going to happen to it at midnight tonight?
At midnight tonight, should we not opt out of the process, that research, or that sample will go to, it's called a company called Genuity Science, and they can do the research on it. They will own my dad's data, and they can essentially, I suppose, indiscriminately sell my dad's data to third parties without his consent for starters, but now it's up to us to consent without our consent.
And when you say it's being handed over, is it being sold?
Well, effectively, like I know I understand research and how it works and pharmaceutical companies, that's what happens. But there are so many questions about it, is that it is effectively that they can come into agreements with third parties and they'll sell it. To do their research on it.
But the Genuity, the company that are getting it, are a private company.
They're a private company, they're funded by the state as well. Yes, so they're a private commercial company.
Okay. And when did you realise you had to opt out? In other words, all the brain tissue samples that Beaumont hold for, I think it's over a 30-year period, all of them are being handed, given, I presume, for money, being sold to this company tonight at midnight. But when did you discover that for you to stop this, you had to explicitly send them an email saying, please do not hand my father's brain tissue on to anyone else?
Well, as I said, it's kind of on the radar. So since the GDPR regulations came into force in 2018, the system, I suppose, started talking. And this is the first situation of its kind that you have to give retrospective consent. So it's in the framework for 2 years, but I suppose families like me are sitting idly by while other people make decisions about my dad's genetic data, which is also my data, my sister's, my brother's, my nieces and my nephews. and his grandchildren. Yeah. And my cousins, of course, and his brothers and sisters.
So have you told Beaumont, do not pass on my father's brain tissue to any outside company?
We just, the email, you can email or you can call them, I believe. We have just said that we want to opt out my dad, ABC, take a sample from this right now, please. And then, of course, you have to trust that the process, there's so much information out there that, oh God, some people are saying that the data could actually be gone, and we've got no confirmation on that. So should I find out in 5 or 10 years' time that the data has already been released? Like,
and what's your worry about what will happen to data? What will happen to your father's brain tissue, your late father's brain tissue? What is your worry?
Well, the first thing I have to say is our dad was super intelligent and he was the most kind and loving man. So he would be an advocate of research. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
So people kind of say, oh, you're against research by doing this. And that's not the issue. It's about him consenting. So my concern is, and it's not beyond the realms of possibility, that if you go into a third-party agreement that an insurance company can get it. And in 10 years' time, if something happens and they'll say, oh, me here, Niamh, wait now, there's obviously a genetic line to a brain tumour. I would not get insurance for that.
Okay, that's one. That's,
I suppose that's just a hypothetical, but it's not impossible.
Okay. And stay there, Niamh. Carol McSherry. Carol, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Your mother, good, thanks, and I hope you are as well. But your mother gave a sample, a brain tissue sample, when and what happened and what's happening tonight?
Mum gave a brain tissue sample. She wrote, I was with her when she signed the consent in 2015.
Right.
She was about to go in for brain surgery. And she was a lab technician in James's herself, so she was very behind research, and she was very happy to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I was there. She gave it to Beaumont.
Okay.
She passed away 9 months later.
All right.
Then the next thing I heard, I was on Twitter in May, and I just happened to see a notice from Beaumont. There was somebody discussing it that was into data protection. Just saying nobody knows that this is happening. So I looked at the notice, and it said that anybody from, I think it's 83, to 2018, anybody who gave a bit of their brain tissue sample to Beaumont, that was all being transferred to a new company. And this company is a private company that's partially funded by the Irish government, but is also partially owned by a foreign government.
Mm-hmm. Do you know which foreign government?
I think it's China.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just started asking questions of different journalists and trying to inquire what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, as it turned out, as far as I know, only 2 ads were placed in the newspapers to make people aware, but it was in the middle of the pandemic. It was in, I think, March and April. So, like people like myself, nobody knew this was happening. So, it's an opt-out system. But yet nobody, it's not in the public domain.
And it's opt-out. That's a critical. So opt-out depends on people knowing. You reckon it affects over 9,000 patients in over 30 years in Beaumont who would have had brain tissue.
Yeah, that's a lot more families than 9,000, you know.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
I mean, Beaumont really treated Mum so well, so I'd really have to say that. They're fantastic.
Okay.
But it's not informed consent if you don't know about it.
Okay. So are you asking, you know, and is Niamh asking, I'll ask Niamh separately, are you asking Beaumont to hold off on this midnight deadline tonight to...
Yeah, I mean, I already asked in June, and then there seems to have been no more awareness. Like, there should have been, if they can't write out to the people, okay, logistically, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
There should be radio ads. There should be something. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Research is good. But we have a lot of questions to ask if it's going to a private company. And I just think that people should be informed. This is very private. This is a part of my mother. This is so personal.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, since I mentioned this on Twitter, I've had other families. And it's like being punched in the gut hearing this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a very personal thing. And we're all in the middle of, this happened during lockdown. I had to contact my brothers, I had to contact my dad and say, this is happening to Mum, genomic data, or her DNA.
And
it just hasn't been handled properly at all, I don't think.
And when your mother, as you say, she was a lab technician herself in St. James, so she knew the importance of research. But when she gave the initial sample, did she... Was there anything in the consent form that said from, you know, we can once we're finished using it, we can move it on to other parties?
I don't, being honest, now maybe I should have looked at the form at the time, but you know, it was the day before she was going in for brain surgery, so we had just found out
enough.
She had a tumor.
Yeah, you've enough.
We were quite stressed, and being honest, it was actually kind of a light moment because it made her happy.
Yeah,
my aunt
was there
too, and she was quite happy about it. But the sample was being given to Beaumont. It was not to be, the thoughts of it being used for private profit really is quite worrying. And I just don't know where it's going from there, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's information that belongs to my family, to her grandchildren.
Okay,
you know?
Now I'll bring in Eileen O'Sullivan. Eileen, I know you're a cancer patient advocate and you've been through treatment as well, but you're not directly affected. But do you know something about this company called Genuity Science?
Good afternoon, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am a cancer patient survivor, well, hopefully a breast cancer patient.
Yeah.
And I am a patient advocate.
Right.
And I work with researchers quite a lot. I have a specific area of interest in cancer research.
Okay.
So I am very pro-research,
yeah,
and I am very excited about what genomics, medicine and research can offer. So this isn't anti-research by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
I do have concerns for some period of time over the relationship of, as it was formerly known, GMI, now Genuity Science, and its interrelationship with the public health system. Also, the Irish State Investment Fund has actually invested as an investor, not funding, as an investor with other venture capital funds, has invested $73 million into it as a commercial investment into Genuity Science. And I'm not sure what due diligence in relation to patients' data protections was done in that proposal or in that pitch. I have been following this and how the decision process came about. So the default position for giving consent under the GDPR 2018 for research is that there needs to be explicit consent. That's the
explicit
default
position. And there's not explicit consent in this case.
No,
by a long
but
shot.
No, but under the health regulation law here in Ireland, which came in 2018. It was recognised that in some cases it might be quite difficult to get consent. And, you know, for example, if somebody was cognitively impaired or maybe the research wasn't going to be too sensitive, maybe it was going to be, you know, did they have research into negative effects maybe of treatments or something like that. So there is a mechanism to apply to the Health Research Declaration Consent Committee for a waiver for seeking explicit consent.
Okay.
So,
and do we know if this was done in this case?
This was done in this case by GMI and Beaumont.
And
it was refused.
Okay. Well, there, that's
so
clear.
So it was rejected at that committee level, primarily, I think, and I don't take this as gospel, but one of the things was that they felt there needed to be extra security and extra awareness when it was going to an external company, that this was for profit, and that perhaps patients wouldn't be so keen for their data to be shared with an external commercial company and where that might actually end up. It's worth pointing out here as well, in case I forget, it's not just the tissue sample that's going to to this private company, which they will say will be anonymized or pseudo-anonymized.
Okay.
What's also going is the clinical data. And that is the gold. That is the value. That is the real gold in that it's when you combine the genomic data with the clinical data of the patient, which is really all their file. It'll be their, whether they're male or female, their age, the type of cancer, the grade, the stage, the treatment types they would have had, surgery, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, targeted, how they responded, blood scans, everything. All of that data goes as well, because it's the combination of looking at the two that is the goal, that is the real value. That's where the commercial value really comes from. And that's where you get the most information for breakthroughs on new treatments. And that can be all good. But that's a lot of data. So it's not.
So what do you think should happen to midnight deadline tonight?
Well, I think, and just to finish up, Joe, appealed. And there is an appeal process. And it was overturned on the appeal. But at the appeal, there was no representation of patient advocates or data protection experts. So Genuity and BOMA rocked up with an external senior legal counsel and five top executives from Genuity and the consultant pathologist who is running the study, who also sits on the advisory board of GMI at that time.
Okay, so, now I we'll have to check that out. But do you reckon Eileen, it's been sold to these samples are being these
I don't,
parts of?
My understanding is there's no money. So the study is a combination is combined with Beaumont and with Genuity Science, and you know that is all good, and that could all bring amazing breakthroughs. But that data and all that stream of data can be sold multiple times to third parties of Genuity Science. So not just once, it can be sold, and it can be potentially sold outside the EEA, which will come under our data protection legislation. So you really don't know where it ends up. And once the genomic data is sequenced, it can't be undone. So you can't really get that back. And you don't know where it's going to end up. And my data, my DNA or my genomic data is unique to me, but it is almost identical to my blood relative. So when you transfer a person's data, you're effectively transferring their family genomic data. So there's lots of questions to be answered. Now, I'm not saying any of that is bad. It's good in relation to research, but it's the commercial activity around it. And the decision-making process in how it happened without there being a broad awareness campaign for patients and a consultation campaign for patients to know. And an opt-out isn't an opt-out if you don't know about it. So
that's true.
I think two things should probably happen. One, that there is a delay so that people could be made properly aware, not just a few notices in a newspaper. And secondly, there is a supervision and compliance examination going on of Genuity Science by the Data Protection Commissioner. And that's going on for the last 8 months because they had concerns. And there have been data breaches, one which will concern my own data. I think that should come to its conclusion before 9,000 samples and the clinical data is transferred to Genuity Science.
It's of no contest or context to the principle of this issue, which you're outlining so clearly, Eileen. But how big or small are these samples?
The tissue samples?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to be very big.
I know,
you can genomically sequence the tiniest minuscule. So there will probably still be tissue sample left in Beaumont also. I don't know the internet for that, to be honest. But it's not the amount. It's the data.
I understand
comes from
that. Anne-Marie Bourke, 1857-15815. Anne-Marie, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
And is there a radio on the background or a speaker? You have a rare medical condition.
Yeah. It's called acromegaly. And there's a tumour in the pituitary gland with it. I would have had an operation done in Beaumont in 2008 and so I would have had tissue removed from that. They also have to check whether it's cancerous because 1% of them can be cancerous, but it was benign. But I'm very concerned. That's the first I've heard about the data going after midnight to a private company. And I'm quite shocked today, and I heard that it was on the newspapers, but because of lockdown, I wasn't buying any newspapers.
And
I just be concerned. I'm involved in a research program, which is very good because my condition is so rare. Anything else? And there's other paperwork that I haven't actually sent them in that I need to send in about different things to do with it. But I'd be concerned if all that is going to a private company. and the implications that they're talking about on the show.
And Anne-Marie, did they take samples of your brain tissue?
Yeah, they would have had to because it was checked. It would, like the pituitary tumour would have been checked to see if it was benign or not benign. So pituitary, I know it's technically not in the actual inside of the brain, but it's just below it. But they still would have tissue from that.
Yeah. And when they took your tissue, that was to help you at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand fully, and I'm actually involved in a whole research program under this, because the condition is so rare for different aspects of it.
So do you're pretty clear, Anne, that Anne-Marie, that your sample would be part of the 9,000.
Well, I'm not sure. Like, okay. I'm just kind of just wondering because I don't know whether it's just to do with cancer or whether it's to do with anything. This is the first time literally just turned on.
Yeah, you heard about it, yeah. Have you? So you've had no contact from Bowman?
I had no contact from Bowman. I wasn't aware it was in the papers. I was cocooning the whole time during lockdown. I didn't buy any papers until very recently.
Yeah, I like it so many people. I know.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about it or anything, so I don't know whether it involves me per se. Mine wasn't cancerous, but it's still, there was a possibility that it could have been. 1% of them are.
Would you consent to part of your tissue being handed? Well, it's not being sold at Garden Island, but being handed over to this private company.
No, I'd rather it not be handed over to a private company if what they're talking about and there's been data breaches and different things. No, because you don't know what what happens to it after that once that happens.
And you say it's a rare medical condition. How rare is? How do I pronounce it?
Acromegaly.
And is it okay if I ask you how that shows itself?
A tumour on the pituitary gland and then maybe other different issues with all your body features. It can cause a lot of damage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's very rare. There's about 4 persons, between 4 and 40 per million.
Wow. That's
very... Yeah, there's only about 300, I reckon, roughly 200 to 400 here in Ireland with it.
And is there treatment?
There is, but it's different on how it's presented and what stage it's at. But it can be progressive and it can be a death sentence early if it's not treated correctly. Wow. It can lead to heart disease. It can lead to monitored for lots of cancers, different things. You can die well before the...
And how did you discover you had it, Anne-Marie?
Just wasn't feeling well, and I was getting terrible pains in my head. High blood pressure, getting terrible pains in my head and different things, and just not right. And I was sent, I ended up going for to the hospital with the pains, and I needed MRI scan and whatever, the doctor just sent me. It's a very complicated history with how I was diagnosed and everything else, but...
We're waiting on a statement from a Bowman, but I'm surmising, say the Bowman statement says this is all for research into acromegaly and other very, very rare conditions.
Yeah, I've no problem with that end. As I say, I'm actually taking part in the research programme in Bowman under that to do with different aspects of how it affects the heart if the levels of the hormones are not right. And what effect they have on heart disease and different things.
But if they say, well, this is for research, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, it's just getting into the wrong hands or information.
Okay, you want more information.
To be just told that this is just going at midnight, just on a programme like this, is not good.
Yeah, you mean on Liveline?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about it until, actually I was told about it on Friday. We were due to do this item on Friday, but the leaving cert overran. So everyone who's been on so far is saying this midnight deadline tonight should be postponed.
Yeah, I think now from what I'm hearing, and if there's been data breaches, as one of the ladies there just said, that's not good. Like, it's, everything that's it, because it's so, I know mine is so rare, but obviously it's, your whole genetics is actually extracted from tissue.
And Eileen, by the way, Anne-Marie, how are you now? How are you?
Trying to keep going, but it's very difficult.
Are you still getting those awful headaches you talked about?
Oh, no. They went, like, once they were relieved. Once blood pressure went very high before the tumour was removed.
Great.
But, I mean, I knew there was something wrong.
Yeah.
But, no, I've other implications and other things. But it's unfortunate as well during this pandemic that people are not wearing masks and they're not keeping away from you and plagued with different things to do with rubbish ending up in my garden that shouldn't be there and different things like that affecting.
But are you very prone to infection? Does that condition...
Oh, yeah. If I got COVID, I would be in very serious trouble. Because all my, with acromegaly, everything grows. It's like a form of giantism.
Yeah, giantism, okay.
Yeah, so all your body is all compromised.
Yeah,
Internally and externally, wherever it can as well.
And can you go out of the house, Amory?
Well, I need to walk.
Yeah, of course.
I need to go out, but it's very hard to keep away from people.
Yeah, I know.
And people are coming up on top of you. They're pushing, barging with you. They're not wearing masks in the shops locally. They're not, when you ask them to move.
Yeah, but they have to wear a mask. They're mandatory in stores.
I know.
Like I saw one, I don't know whether you saw it at the weekend.
They're not wearing them.
There was one fantastic video in the sense of that there was a staff member of Lidl who was challenging this man, for want of a better word, who just said, "I'm not wearing a mask. It's my constitutional rights." And the chap was saying to him, and he was very civil, by the way, the chap from Lidl, saying, I think he was a manager. He said, you have to wear a mask and we can't serve you without a mask. This fellow was shouting at him. People, it's the law now. It is mandatory. It is a regulation.
Very aware
like
of
law.
That.
Yeah.
Extremely aware of that.
Okay.
And people coming up on top of you and not keeping the distance. And some shops are actually not monitoring where the aisles are too narrow. So I can't use my local shop anymore because the aisles is too narrow in it.
Yeah. I don't know where we're forgetting this now, but apparently you can opt out of this, of allowing your relative's brain tissue to be transferred to a private company at midnight tonight from Bournemouth Hospital. There's about 9,000 people, we believe, affected. Opt out by emailing BTIS at Bournemouth.ie. Now, that's that in itself. It's the first time I've heard of that email address. I don't know about you, Anne-Marie. Eileen, can I ask you, like, what do we know about Genuity? You say the Irish government have invested in them, which does not mean statutory support or endorsement.
No, it's an investment.
It's an investment.
Yes,
who owns them?
It's that is always the challenge with a private company, because it's like looking into a bucket of coal to try and know who the actual stakeholders or investors are. We know that the Irish State Investment Fund has invested $73 million in it. We know there's venture capital firms within it. Now, venture capital, we know a bit about them from our mortgage markets. They get called vulture funds and they're looking for a quick turnaround. And we know that WuXi, which is the Chinese parent, has an investment or a stake. And they there was a restructuring in June and they're talking that WuXi will, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, by the way, are going to divest by the end of the year.
WUXI.
The reality is with the private company, that could all change at any point in time. You will never know who those commercial investors actually are. So the mandate or the aims of Genuity Science or the stated aims is to harvest the genomes of 400,000 Irish people.
Right.
And that will be people who will be well, and that will be people with diseases. Now, if you, for that number, that's actually a huge, huge number in the terms of genomic sequencing. That basically gives you the profile of the full Irish population.
And are you?
And that has been sourced through the public health system for the ones with the diseases. So they are sourcing that through going to clinicians, consultants, hospitals, and seeking those consents or arrangements like this from for accessing genomic data and clinical data as well, as which I had done before.
And Eileen, who was it at the start? Niamh, wasn't it? Who said, like, one of the things people wouldn't think about is if insurance companies got their hands on this research or whatever's harvested from these brain tissue, they could invariably, not inevitably by a long shot, but they could actually use it against you when you applied for insurance. They could say your family has a genetic condition which leaves you prone to a brain tumour.
Yes, that is foreseeable.
Yeah. Okay, well, I say we've been on to Beaumont because, as I said, the first I heard about this was Friday. I suspect as Anne-Marie Bourke has just said, this is the first she's heard about it, and she reckons her samples will be transferred at midnight tonight to this Genuity. And given the behaviour of the Chinese government, well, on loads of fronts, going back to Mao's famine, and when people in China started eating bats and rats and dogs and everything else because they'd no alternative. That's how all these wet markets began, which gave us SARS, and the Chinese kept that covered up for a number of months. Now they now say there was initial hesitation, wasn't as long on the coronavirus, but anyway, people have their worries about the Chinese government and their fingers in so many pies. Okay, Eileen Sullivan, thanks. Eileen, how did you become involved in this? Is this a voluntary thing you do?
Absolutely.
Yeah, fair voluntary. Play to you. Fair play to you.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm alive today because I have a BRCA mutated gene.
Okay.
So I had, my mum died very young with breast cancer, and my aunts and my grandaunts. So I'm alive today, you know, due to the great advances
in research.
Cancer research and the great team. So I'm very pro-research.
But it's just a process.
Absolutely.
At the minute. Yeah. Okay. Well put, Eileen, and stay well, and Carol as well. Thanks indeed, and all explained very, very well. That sounds probably a little bit patronising. I don't mean it that way. And Anne-Marie, in terms of your prognosis,
yeah, it's just I don't know what's going to come next. Different things, crop up as which can occur naturally due to age and that. But like, if things are not kept in order and you're not constantly monitored, and being realistic, I wasn't told very much information, very hard to get information. It's very hard. If you have cancer, you're treated in a multidisciplinary way. In other words, you have all the different components, but it's completely treated. You're treated with endocrinology, you're treated with heart, you're treated with all the different things that crop up. And if I got a cancer, if anything happened to me like that, it would probably just be too quick. I would probably wouldn't have the same chance as anyone else.
Yeah.
And then because of where the tumour was removed from the brain, then your breathing and different things happen. And your sinuses are out. Everything is affected in your whole body. So it's just it's very tough.
Yeah,
to keep going. But unfortunately, some people, you know, they just don't think and whatever, and like having to, you know, deal with what I've to try and deal and different things, and you know, people really need to start thinking on this virus. They really need to start thinking about their behaviours.
Yeah. Okay.
And what they're doing.
Okay, Anne-Marie, thanks indeed for teaching us and informing us about that, which so many people would have been unaware of that condition you have, but also Eileen, Carol, and yourself, Anne-Marie, through your contribution, and Niamh and the other women who contacted us about this handover tonight at midnight. Thank you all. 51551 Washant.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.